While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Maya, that housing report you sent me, I've been cross-referencing it with the predictive algorithms used in tenant screening, and what I'm seeing is absolutely chilling.
Don't even get me started. I just got off the phone with Ms. Rodriguez. Remember her from the East Side tenant organizing meeting? Her family got rejected from their 7th apartment application this month. 7, Alex. And when we finally got the screening company to explain why, they cited a risk score based on an algorithm that flagged her zip code.
Her zip code. Not her payment history, not her employment, her zip code.
And that's just the beginning. Amara, you've been inside these tech companies. Tell them what you told me about how these algorithms actually work.
The dirty secret is that these systems are designed to maximize profit, not fairness. When I was at Tenant Check Corp, we literally had meetings about how to incorporate neighborhood characteristics into our risk models. It's redlining with a digital face. The algorithm learns from historical data that's already steeped in discrimination, then amplifies those biases at scale.
I've been analyzing the data from 5 major tenant screening companies, and the patterns are undeniable. In predominantly Black and Latino neighborhoods, rejection rates are 43% higher, even when controlling for income and credit scores. But here's what really gets me. These companies claim their algorithms are race blind because they don't explicitly use race as a variable.
Race blind my ass!
Sorry. But when you use zip codes, when you use arrest records instead of convictions, when you factor in things like social media behavior, you're just laundering discrimination through data.
And it's not just housing. Keiko, you've been tracking how these same algorithmic patterns show up across different sectors. Absolutely. The healthcare findings are particularly disturbing. We analyzed diagnostic algorithms used in emergency rooms across 12 major hospital systems. Black patients with identical symptoms were 38% less likely to be flagged as high priority for chest pain. Algorithms literally trained on biased historical data that underestimated Black patients' pain and symptom severity. I saw this firsthand when I consulted for MedPredict AI. The training data came from decades of medical records where Black patients' pain was systematically underreported and undertreated. So the algorithm learns that chest pain in Black patients isn't as serious. It's weaponizing historical racism into future healthcare decisions.
This is exactly what happened to my uncle last year. Went to the ER with chest pains. The triage algorithm gave him a low priority score. Sat in that waiting room for 4 hours before anyone saw him properly. Had a mild heart attack while waiting. The hospital said the system worked as designed. Yeah, designed by who and for who?
That phrase, working as designed, keeps coming up in my interviews with tech companies. They hide behind technical language, but the impact is real bodies, real lives. What's particularly insidious is how these systems create feedback loops. The healthcare algorithm assigns lower priority to Black patients, leading to worse outcomes, which then gets fed back into the system as validation that those patients were lower risk. It's a death spiral of discrimination. And the companies making these systems? They're incredibly resistant to transparency. When I pushed for audit access at my last job, I was told it was proprietary information. They're literally saying their trade secrets are more important than people's lives.
See, this is why we can't just ask nicely for change. We tried that. Remember the city council hearings on algorithmic accountability? They nodded, they said all the right things, then passed a watered-down ordinance that basically requires companies to say, we checked for bias without any real oversight.
Speaking of oversight, what happened with that criminal justice algorithm audit in the state prison system? The findings were damning, but they tried to bury them. We only got access through a FOIA request, and even then, half the data was redacted. But what we could see? The recidivism prediction algorithm was flagging Black defendants as high risk at twice the rate of white defendants with identical criminal histories.
And judges are using these scores to set bail to determine sentences. We got a brother doing 5 years instead of 2 because a computer said he was high risk based on his neighborhood and his cousin's record. his cousin's record. How is that justice?
It's not. It's efficiency masquerading as objectivity. These systems are sold to cash-strapped public institutions as a way to make better decisions faster and cheaper. But they're really just automating the biases that already exist, giving them a veneer of mathematical legitimacy. Let's talk about employment. The hiring algorithms are showing similar patterns. Even worse in some ways. Resume screening algorithms consistently downgrade applications from people with ethnic names, graduates from HBCUs, anyone with employment gaps. One system I analyzed actually penalized applicants who had words associated with caregiving or family responsibilities.
Which means mothers, people caring for elderly parents, anyone who's had to prioritize family, gets screened out before a human even sees their application. My neighbor's daughter, brilliant coder, took 2 years off to care for her sick mother. Can't get past the first round anywhere because the AI sees that gap and tosses her resume.
When I was building these systems, we called it optimizing for performance indicators. But those indicators were always based on who had succeeded in the past, predominantly white men without caregiving responsibilities. We were literally programming discrimination. How do we fight this? Because individual lawsuits aren't keeping pace with the speed of deployment.
We organize, we're building coalitions between tenant unions, healthcare advocates, criminal justice reformers, because it's the same fight. These algorithms are affecting all of us, but hitting black and brown communities first and worst, como siempre.
From a technical standpoint, we need mandatory algorithmic impact assessments, public audits, and real consequences for discriminatory outcomes. The EU is moving in this direction with their AI Act, but the US is lagging. And we need people on the inside willing to blow the whistle. I lost my job for speaking out, but if I'd stayed silent, how many more families would have been denied housing? How many more patients misdiagnosed? Tech workers have to realize we're not just writing code, we're writing people's futures.
That's real talk. And for those of us on the outside, we gotta get loud. The protest at TenantCheck headquarters last month, that was just the beginning. When they won't give us transparency, we take it.
Tell us about the direct actions you're planning.
We're coordinating with groups in 5 cities. Next month, simultaneous demonstrations at the headquarters of major algorithmic decision-making companies. But it's not just protests. We're doing teach-ins, showing people how to spot algorithmic discrimination, how to demand their data, how to appeal automated decisions.
I've been developing tools to help people understand their algorithmic risk scores, simple visualizations that show what factors are being weighted against them. Knowledge is power. And I'm working with a group of former tech employees to create an ethics certification for algorithms, like fair trade, but for AI. Companies that submit to real audits that center affected communities in their design process. But will companies adopt it voluntarily? Some will, for PR if nothing else. But the real power comes from procurement. If governments and large institutions refuse to buy from companies without certification, that creates market pressure.
See, that's the inside game, and we need it, but we also need the outside pressure. These companies gotta feel it in their pockets and their public image. When we showed up at the CEO of Credit Score AI's kids' graduation with signs about how many families his algorithms had destroyed, suddenly he was willing to meet with affected communities. But
some would call that going too far.
Too far? Too far is denying someone cancer treatment because an algorithm said they weren't worth it. Too far is keeping someone in jail because a computer predicted they might commit a crime. We're fighting for lives here.
The data supports Maya's urgency. We're tracking over 100 million algorithmic decisions affecting people's basic needs, housing, health, freedom, work, and less than 1% of those decisions have any meaningful human review. The scale is what people don't grasp. When I was at Data Decision Corp, our algorithms were making 50,000 hiring pre-screening decisions per day. That's 50,000 people whose economic futures were determined in milliseconds by biased code. What about the argument that algorithms could be less biased than humans if designed correctly? In theory, yes, but correctly means starting with unbiased data, which doesn't exist. It means defining fairness in ways that don't perpetuate existing inequalities. And it means continuous monitoring and adjustment, none of which is profitable.
Right. They always want to talk about the future potential while people are suffering right now. We can't wait for perfect algorithms, while families are on the street, while people are dying from misdiagnosis.
The other issue is who defines correctly. The communities most affected by these systems are rarely in the rooms where they're designed. It's usually young, wealthy, white, and Asian men making decisions about systems that disproportionately impact poor communities of color. So what does accountability look like in practice?
Community oversight boards with actual power, not advisory, decision-making power. Any algorithm affecting public services should have to get approval from representatives of affected communities.
And technical standards that require not just testing for bias, but testing for differential impact. It's not enough to say the algorithm treats everyone the same if the same means perpetuating existing inequalities. Liability is key. Right now, companies hide behind terms of service and disclaimers. If your algorithm wrongly denies someone housing or healthcare, you should face real consequences. Personal liability for executives who sign off on discriminatory systems.
Now we're talking. Make it hurt. Because right now, the cost of discrimination is externalized onto communities while companies profit.
What about the international perspective? Are other countries handling this better? Some interesting models emerging. In New Zealand, they've incorporated indigenous data sovereignty principles. Algorithms affecting Maori communities require Maori governance. It's not perfect, but it's a start. Barcelona has been pioneering municipal algorithmic sovereignty, city-owned alternatives to corporate systems with transparency baked in. But they have the political will that many US cities lack.
Which brings us back to organizing. None of this happens without pressure. The companies won't self-regulate, the government won't act without being pushed. It's on us.
For our listeners who want to get involved, where do they start?
First, learn your rights. Many of these algorithmic decisions can be challenged, but people don't know how. We've got resources on our website, templates for data requests, appeal letters, know your rights trainings.
Document everything. If you suspect algorithmic discrimination, keep records, screenshot results, save emails, note dates and times. We're building a database of incidents to establish patterns. And for tech workers listening, you have more power than you think. Refuse to build discriminatory systems. Leak documents if necessary. History will judge us by what we did when we knew these systems were causing harm.
And show up. Next month's Day of Action. We need bodies in the streets, but also people making calls, spreading the word on social media, pressuring local officials. This is everybody's fight, porque these algorithms don't discriminate in their discrimination, you feel me?
It's clear this goes far deeper than any single sector. The same algorithmic logic causing bias in housing is denying healthcare, extending prison sentences, eliminating job opportunities. Exactly. It's a systemic issue requiring systemic solutions. We can't fix hiring algorithms while leaving criminal justice algorithms untouched. They feed into each other. The companies know this. They share techniques. They attend the same conferences. They move between sectors. A developer creating tenant screening algorithms today might be building healthcare diagnostics tomorrow.
Which is why our coalition approach is so important. When tenant organizers and healthcare advocates and criminal justice reformers realize we're fighting the same enemy, that's when we become unstoppable.
As we wrap up, what's the one thing you want listeners to remember? These systems aren't inevitable. They're choices made by people, and they can be changed by people, but only if we demand it. Don't let them hide behind complexity. Yes, the technical details matter, but the impacts are simple. People are being harmed. Stay focused on that.
And remember, your struggle is our struggle. Whether it's your housing application, your medical care, your job search, or your loved one's court case, algorithmic injustice affects all of us. But together, we're stronger than any algorithm.
Powerful words to end on. The fight for algorithmic justice is really a fight for human dignity in the digital age, and it's a fight we can't afford to lose.